So I'd like to call the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration to order. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Great.
All right. I'd like to begin with the approval of the minutes. Representative Benson.
Madam Chair, I've read the minutes. I believe they're accurate.
Any questions or additions to the minutes? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, and minutes are adopted. I would like to begin by moving the proposed calendar of the day for Monday, April 8th. It is in your packet. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, no. And just as a reminder, of course, the rule, the pre-filing rule applies. Thank you. Today we're going to talk about the proposed House budget, and that information is in your packet, and I'd like to invite Mr. Reinholz up, and if he could, thank you for being here, Mr. Reinholz. Thank you for your work on this. And if you could, for the committee, go through the memo. And then I know you'll have some time to answer questions. That would be just great. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, thank you. For the record, I'm House Controller Jim Reinholz. And I am here today because of House Rules. In House Rules 8.01 states that the controller will bring forth a proposed budget to the Rules Committee, and the Rules Committee then will approve or amend and send that on to the state government finance. So you should have a packet, a three-page packet that I prepared, the first page of which is a memo from myself to the chair. And I will start out with saying that this was put together. I worked with House leadership and developed this budget. And the front page here, obviously, is just a quick summary of the numbers. And if you look down, what it is recommending is a total expenditure level for the fiscal year 2014-15 of $59,725. It is, the entire amount is recommended to be a general fund appropriation. This request would increase the House budget by $3.977 million above the 2012-2013 biennium. That would be an increase of 7.1% to the general fund base budget of the House. I did point out in my memo that even with this increase, that is still $2.9 million below the budget that the House had in fiscal year 8 and 9. What this budget really would do is I'm describing it as the same level of effort operation for 14 and 15. Most of the operations would be running the same as they have in 12 and 13. You will see the same number of people, funds the same number of permanent staff that we have now. It funds pretty much a slight increase in temporary staff. The two big drivers in the budget of change in dollars is the cost of health insurance for members and staff. The estimate in this budget is an increase of $1.4 million over the 2 years of the biennium. This is based on the estimates. Health insurance for the staff and members went up just under 12% effective January 1st of this year. This is assuming that those increases will be similar going forward in the next 2 years. MMB comes out with estimates. They are looking, they only go 1 year, and they are estimating somewhat similar to what we have in here for the first year, and I'm flatlining it out to 15. The largest number, in the other large number in a change here in the budget is the staff salary and benefits numbers. This budget does have dollars built into it to increase staff salaries. Like I said, it maintains the current level of permanent staffing, the numbers, slight increase in temporary staff, and also a slight increase in a few other areas in the budget. That's a real quick summary, so I think if I move on to the second page, there's some bullet details, then some of the more important points that I would move on to and go through with the committee. The budget is assuming that session length will be funded at 15 weeks for 2014, 19 weeks for 2015. Salaries and per diem of members have no proposed increase. $66 is the current per diem. This budget is funded at that same amount. Staffing levels are at 223.52 FTEs. That is the current level of permanent staffing. Staff salaries are, there are dollars in the budget to allow for staff salary increase. Of course, any increases would have to be done through a resolution by this committee, as always. The budget allows for those increases. Action would have to be taken by the committee to implement those. Temporary staffing is slightly increased. Health insurance is a large driver in the increase here. As you can see, it's got 12% built into it for each year. Deferred compensation is brought back. Deferred compensation was suspended for 2 years for staff. This budget allows that to begin again. There are slight increases in travel and registration. Travel and registration budgets were cut significantly too in the current budget. There has been a lot of pressure for that to be increased. This has relatively small increases in that. Equipment expenditures have a slight increase. We are getting behind on investment in some of our IT equipment, and we're trying to at least prevent that backlog from growing. And the budget obviously assumes, like it has been for quite a while, that legislative rent is included in the Department of Admin budget, is not in the House budget. Those are really points of that the budget is based on and some of the change items. The third page is the detailed on the numbers. Was not going to go into any of those because they really are a same level budget other than those items I pointed out that changed. Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee has.
Thank you, Mr. Reinholz. Representative Portman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Reinholz, the health insurance increase of 12% in each year, did our insurance provider indicate why the increases 12% in each year?
Mr. Reinholz.
Chair, Representative Portman, the state is self-insured, which means they basically hire people to administer the health care program. They're also the amounts of the cost are also driven somewhat by the contracts that are signed with the bargaining units in the executive branch. You know, they'll seem to go bounce around. For a while we had no increases, and all of a sudden you have 10-12% increases. They're not exactly clear as to why. I know sometimes they get they build up reserves and then they don't do increases. The reserves are gone, I believe, that they had. A lot of it's just on forecasts. So there's a lot of things in play. Part of it is they said during the recession people were not using their health care as much, so it was down, and now the health care use is going up again. Their projections, and those are really the drivers, is usage and the charge that the health care industry is adding.
Representative Portman.
Madam Chair, Mr. Reinholz, what I'd be really interested in is how much of it is attributable to changes in experience ratings. You know, how much utilization is a factor versus contracts, because I know we've signed new contracts, but in our private business we were self-insured. If you had a year where you had a few people with very serious illnesses, that could throw the whole thing off. You know, you have a couple people with fairly intensive medical treatment and it can throw your whole pool off. And so when we're looking at 12% and 12%, if it's attributable to some very sick people, that's one thing. If it's other factors, I'd just be interested to know what is the real driver there.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Representative Portman, I will get more detailed information from you, but I want to make sure that you understand it's not based on House experience, it's the entire state government, so it is a very large pool of, it's probably one of the largest pools in the state, I'm sure, in health insurance.
Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Reinholz, I've got several questions, but the first one that I have is, do you have the current budget so we can do a comparison? Typically, we get a chance to look at what the current budget is compared to the proposed, and at least in the packet that I've got, I just have the one that lists the proposed budget. Do you have that handy that maybe the pages could make a copy of that and we could do a comparison?
Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, I do not have to include a copy of the current budget that hasn't been included, at least in the last cycle either. I do have, I guess, the numbers on the current budget. The general appropriation was $27,874 in 12 and in each year for 12 and 13. Like the summary on the front page indicated, this is a 3.977 million increase. So out of the 59,725, so you would see it would be in the range of 56 million is the current budget.
Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair, Mr. Reinholz, maybe then I'm just going to have you walk through a couple of things with me here and see if you can give me the comparison if you do happen to remember those numbers off the top of your head. But I'm looking, first of all, first item that I'm going to go over is the member session mileage. And for the proposed budget in fiscal year 2014, you have it at $127,500, but then that increases to $160,000 in fiscal year 15. Has that traditionally been the case that we increase by what, about $33,000 in the year that we typically have a shorter session than we do normally? Can you kind of give me a 5-year window of what that typically looks like versus what you've got here proposed today?
Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, that number is based on the current mileage reimbursement, based on the current members. That's driven by basically how many members are eligible for that session mileage. You have to live 50 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the federal mileage rate. I'm not assuming that to change here. And it is the budget fiscal year 14 is smaller because that is the shorter year. It's totally dependent upon the number of weeks that there is in session. That's why in the bullet points I said this is based on 15 weeks for the short session and 19 weeks for the longer, because we allow each one of those members to be reimbursed 1 week for travel. So those numbers are just based on the length of session, the current makeup of the members, and how many miles away they live. They will change, obviously, after an election, but we usually just base them on the current.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, Mr. Reinholz, at least for my purposes for going forward, if you could get that data to me, I think it would be helpful. Probably do a 6-year look back, since that'll have a per biennium basis. I think that would be helpful for me to see. The other question that I had, in your summary statement, you talked about how the equipment expenditures that you're looking to do, some increases there. Can you tell me what are we talking about, and how much is it going to go to IT, and what exactly are we buying for that? And then I also have the question on the travel portion of things. Do we still have the ban on out-of-state travel, or would that be lifting the ban on out-of-state travel? Let me ask you that.
Madam
Mr. Reinholz.
Chair, Representative, the first question you asked about, the ban on travel. The ban on travel is still in place. That can be without. It's really not. It's a ban with the exception that it can be approved by the Speaker. That's still in place. This budget does not anticipate changing that. That is obviously up to leadership. The budget does not increase that to the point where committee budgets would allow for large amounts of travel. Your first question was on the IT items.
Mm-hmm.
We have not put together specific items for this budget, but there are. It is in there that desktops are. We replace our computers typically on a 4 to 5 year cycle. The desktops that staff have are coming to the end of that cycle. That's a large purchase. We also are coming to the end during this biennium. We come to the end of the cycle on our maintenance contract with our telephones.
Just a moment, Mr. Reinholz. I'd ask committee members if your phones are on, but please turn them off because it does interfere with that. And as we're reminded, this is the hearing room that is hard to hear in anyhow, especially for the people at home, so phones off would be super helpful. I'm sorry, Mr. Reinholz, please continue.
Madam Chair and Representative, the other IT items that We know we're going to have to improve on in the near future are the switches that we have, which those are in control. Both the network and the phone system are up beyond their expected lifetime. And if people remember, in 2012, we had the incidents where the telephone systems were out in portions of state office building for afternoons, and I think at one point entire days because a switch failed. So we are trying to replace those things that are long overdue.
Madam Chair,
Representative
Mr. Reinholtz, so that's the exhaustive list then? And then also, you mentioned in here furniture, are you looking to replace chairs and desks in offices, or what are we talking about when it comes to the furniture piece?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, as I said, the specific plan on what these are will be developed once the budget is adopted. We do have some old plans from that. Things that came through requests last budget cycle that did not get done, those are the ones I've mentioned. This dollar amount does not include any wholesale change of furniture, no. Furniture would only be replaced where nothing was available and it was broken under this dollar amount. The vast majority of that money, in fact, would be going towards office equipment. Either the prime pieces of that are copiers. We've replaced two copiers the last year, run around $20,000 apiece, or IT and phone infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Reinholtz. And Madam Chair, I would suggest that we make sure on the travel portion of it that we actually enact a ban on out-of-state travel here. Given the tight economic times, that would be my suggestion to you to have that actually in the language so that we have that permanently in place and it's not just left up to the discretion of the speaker. So that would be my recommendation to you. I'll probably have some more questions later, but I just want to give an opportunity to others to ask some questions.
Thanks, Representative Anderson. And I know that the policy that's in place is one that has come from the past majority. And so, you know, I'll advise the speaker on your advice, but I do think the policy is probably working pretty well. Thank you. Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Reinholtz, for kind of walking through this with us. Just a couple of questions. One is, I know that we have a reserve or a carry forward. Is that reflected somewhere in here, or do you know what the balance of that is, or do we have a projection of what it would be? Also at the end of this, the proposed fiscal year 14-15.
Reinholtz.
Madam Chair, Representative Loon, we came into the biennium the current biennium fiscal year 12 with approximately $4.4 million of carry forward. We spent $442,000 of that in fiscal year 12. At this point, I'm expecting that we will end fiscal year 15 with approximately that amount of money. That left $3,998,000, a little under $4 million in carry forward. We're projecting right now to end the biennium with approximately that amount of money.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Okay, well, so then it doesn't sound like there's any particular plans for spending that. And I just wondered, as a matter of policy, if there is any sort of procedures in place for approving expenses from that reserve.
Madam Chair, Representative Loon, I did point that out in the budget, that this budget being proposed is, when I did my summary, is all general fund. 2 years ago, we did plan, and the budget was approved to spend some carry-forward dollars. In the current biennium, most of the carry-forward expenditure was related to transitions leadership, which is one of the items in statute that carry-forward expenditures are allowed for. In practice, when the budget is in place, the speaker has, as the chief executive officer, has a lot of control over this spending. But no, this this budget is not anticipating spending that. It obviously, if there was another, once again, another transition, I would expect that there would be spending out of it that would come, that would happen.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Just one other question, and again, because this is my first time on the Rules Committee and going through this, is there a separate budget for the Speaker's office, or is that just encompassed in this in total?
Mr. Reynolds.
Madam Chair, Representative Loon, there is always been established a target budget for the Speaker's office, yes.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Reynolds, what is that target or what is that budget as reflected in these numbers?
Madam Chair, Representative Loon, that budget is the same as in this budget as it is during this current biennium, which is $50,000 per year.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Loon.
One final question. I think I know the answer to this because it doesn't sound like we're planning to spend any reserves, but is there any, because obviously we're in the current fiscal year 13 budget until July 1st, any plans to change existing budget or spend, make differences in what we're spending in that budget for the next couple of months?
Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, there is nothing in the budget brought before here, and there has been no decision made on changes for the last 3 months here from the established budget.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question on the 15-week session forecast that you have. I think the last time we were in the short session, it was about a 12-week session. That would put us back in probably early February or so in a 15-week session. Is that the intent of the majority to bring us back early in the short session?
Representative Woodward, we haven't made a decision yet about when the 2014 session will begin.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. And then, so Mr. Reinholz, how did you come up with 15 weeks then if we're not sure how long that session is going to be?
Mr. Reinholz. Representative Woodward, actually the last short session was 14 weeks.
14.
Actually it was 15, but we only paid for 14 because during the Easter break people were not allowed to take per diem. 15 weeks has been an average over I look back a few cycles, and it's been an average, and I just used an average.
Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just one final follow-up question on the technology upgrades. Any of the technology upgrades you're looking at, would that involve the Senate as well, being in the state office building, you know, wireless, those kinds of things, or is this just entirely House-related technology?
Madam Chair, Representative Woodward, there are items that we do cooperate with the Senate on. The phone system is a joint system with the Senate and the LCC. There are some wireless systems that are joint systems, and we share the cost on those because it's more efficient. So there are pieces that we do share on. Yes, we also have our network systems are primarily separate, and so it's mixed on that. There are shared items and non-shared items.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Are there other questions? Oh, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Reinholz, on the spreadsheet for expenditures, I note, and then this is just more of an elaboration question under deferred compensation. In your summary, you mentioned funding for employee deferred compensation match and conversion. If you could just elaborate in terms of what is meant by conversion.
Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Reynolds.
Representative Albright, the LCC employees or legislative employee handbook allows the bodies to allow employees to convert a limited amount of vacation hours to deferred comp, and that's what that's referring to.
Madam Chair.
Representative Albright.
And Mr. Reinholz, then in terms of the spreadsheet, it's staying static between, you're just anticipating that it remains as it has in the past in terms of the 140,000?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Reinholz.
Albright, yeah, that is based on past experience of expenditures, yes.
Madam Chair, Mr. Reinholz, then just further down then, under travel and subsistence, under other printing, I'm noting a couple of outliers here. from year to year. Other printing going from 4,000 to 58,000, and then professional services going from 30,000 to 100,000. I'm just wondering if you could expand on the need for those two.
Mr. Reinhold.
Madam Chair, the representative, Albright, the number one item underneath the printing. The $58,000 a year is the year we print stationery for members. We only do that every other year. The professional services, it is an estimate of the legal fees we pay after every election, just it seems to be. So we do have a number in there where we pay for recounts. If you recall, this committee had those before them. I believe several meetings ago, I was at the last one with legal bills, and that's every 2 years also, and that's why there's an increase in the second year there.
Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Reynolds, can you tell me what has been our past practices on tuition reimbursement for members? Did we, in the current biennium, have we been paying out tuition reimbursement for members, and did we do it in the biennium previous to that?
Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, we are not in the current, and we have never, at least to my knowledge, paid tuition for members. Not that I'm aware of.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, and that's what I thought, Mr. Reinholz, and that's why I'm wondering why we have a line item that has registration fees and tuition tacked on to it. Wouldn't it be better just to eliminate the tuition so there isn't any confusion as to what that is?
Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, that's a good point. And these categories have been around for quite a while. If we're going to not have a policy of not paying tuition going forward, that probably could I would change that. Yeah.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to move that we do that, that we strike the word tuition so there's no confusion for the public that we are providing tuition for legislators. And I don't know necessarily how to do this because it's not a bill form, but I'm making that motion. So,
Representative Portman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't think that that's a good idea. Some of these meetings that you go to, whether it's a Minnesota, that tax group that does just the real strict fiscal analysis, they might refer to their meeting fees as tuition. So I don't think we want to exclude any meeting that calls it tuition instead of a fee.
Madam Chair, I'm certain that the speaker would have capabilities to ferret that out. I think it should be clear that this is not for, maybe the better motion, Representative Hortman, to address your concern would be to say tuition does not include college fees or anything to that extent, if that makes you more comfortable.
Representative Hortman.
No, I'm just comfortable opposing the motion.
Representative Carlson.
Representative Hortman made the same point I did. Some of the conferences that you attend refer to part of the registration, or maybe the registration in total is tuition to attend. Going back to the original question, I was on the Rules Committee, in fact chaired a subcommittee on personnel at one point when we did deal with tuition reimbursement, and that was for staff only. And to the degree that there's some history there, it never did cover members. So I just want to provide some comfort level for the person that asked the question.
Thank you, Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
But in the summary, if you look, it says that this does not include four staff, if that's what you're implying.
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, I'm referring to the question of the tuition. It was my understanding that the question was asked whether tuition reimbursement, which is covered in the letter, had ever covered members, and I was saying it never has. It was only for staff, and in fact, when we had the policy in place, and it hasn't been in recent years, there were various caps. I think if somebody attended, for example, a private high-cost institution, it was capped at the highest cost comparable public institution. There were various guides that went into that. But we did have at the time a few staff people that did go on and get advanced degrees or take additional courses and so on to improve their skills to work for the Minnesota House. And that was the reason, so that our staff would have the opportunity and some reimbursement if they did that. But my point is that it never covered members in terms of what you're talking about, tuition, like at a college or a university. The term tuition, as we both pointed out earlier, sometimes if you attend a conference, they'll refer to that as tuition, and that's why that language, I think, is there. And so I too, would oppose the motion.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And since we're on registration and conferences, I think it might be important to note we are hosting two conferences, you know, on a bipartisan basis. This year we are hosting the Council of State Governments Midwest Legislative Conference, and then next year we're hosting the National Conference of State Legislators. So I think we'll have a responsibility of all of us to be helping with that, and I just wanted to get that on the record, that we're, in case members aren't aware, that's something we're going to have some volunteer activities to participate in, and we'll be looking for all of you to help.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Is there any other discussion? Representative Anderson has moved that we strike the word tuition from the memo before us. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
No.
No. And the motion is not adopted. Are there any other questions for Mr. Reinholz? Thank you very much, Mr. Reinholz. I appreciate your work on this and taking the time to explain it to the committee members. And seeing no further discussion, I move that the House budget for fiscal year 2014-15, as presented, be approved and submitted to the State Government Finance and Veterans Affairs Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
No.
And the motion is adopted.
No.
Thank you for that. And then just two more motions before the committee. And we have two bills that we're going to move on through the Rules Committee per our Joint Rule 203. And I know that the committee authors are here, the bill authors are here if there are questions. We have House File 978 is a Representative Huntley bill, and House File 1138, a Representative Newton bill dealing with veterans and leave. And I just ask you to come up. I don't know that there'll be any questions. I'll make the motion first. On Representative Huntley's bill, I move that Rule 203 of the Joint Rules be waived and that House File 978 be re-referred to the General Register. That is the motion before us. Is there any discussion? Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a clarification. It appears from a process standpoint, then, that bills that did not meet policy deadline can certainly still move through the process by going through these channels. I know these are Democratic authors at this time, but I assume we'd afford the same courtesy to Republican authors as well.
Representative Kelly, you're correct.
Thank you.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, my question was much the same, and I just wondered if maybe as a matter of course we might have just an explanation if we're doing a waiver of kind of what the holdup was.
Certainly. Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair and Representative Lewin, the bill did not make the deadline. We went through two committees, and I think it's an important bill. It's very non-controversial. All it does is change state law to match what the federal law is about health insurance. And they trump us because of the Commerce Clause. If they say something about health insurance, we have to adapt. If we don't change our laws, then our laws don't match what the real law is. So that's what this bill does.
Thank you, Representative Huntley. Seeing no other questions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And the motion is adopted. Thank you, Representative Huntley and Representative Newton. Thank you for being here. Would you like to give us an explanation of 1138?
Yes. I can tell you what it's an agency bill for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And in simplest form, what it does is it aligns the Minnesota Code of Military Justice with the Federal Uniform Code of Military Justice. It hadn't been done for many years, and the department wanted to have the codes aligned. There are two changes in this bill from the previous Minnesota Code of Military Justice. One, it gives the Adjutant General of Minnesota authority in courts-martial cases while not taking that authority away from the governor. In other words, the governor is still the commander of the Armed Forces of Minnesota, but he can delegate to the Adjutant General the authority for courts-martials. And the other change has to do with a change that we've had in Minnesota years ago, was when we created the Court of Appeals. There was no respite for someone who was tried by courts-martial to appeal to a higher authority in the state. This gives them the authority to go to the Court of Appeals. And it's somewhat the same as Representative Huntley's bill. It just went through several committees and took more time than we had anticipated to get it through.
Thank you, Representative Newton. Are there questions? Then I will move that Rule 2.03 of the Joint Rules be waived and that House File 1138 be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering, will it be, this is before we vote here, I'm just wondering if this will be our policy going forward, that any bill that gets referred here will be taking up, or will that be something that you'll just be deciding on a as-is basis? And do you have any idea how many we can anticipate? Because it seems like we have a rules process for a reason and deadlines for a reason, and every time one of these meets it because it didn't make it through the process in time, I think there's probably many bills that didn't quite make the timeline. So I'm just wondering what you're envisioning as your plan for, as bills get re-referred here, how many of them are you going to take? Are you going to take all of them? And how many do you anticipate?
Thanks, Representative Pepin, and it's a great question. And for anybody who's listening, the lobbyists that are working on bills, don't come run into the office to lobby to get your bill through this process, because that's not going to work. Instead, I'd like to hear from members who have reasons for why bills didn't make it through the deadline, and we're going to consider those on a case-by-case basis. We did get, after the break, a list of bills, and we will take a look at those, but certainly not all of them are going to get through. We're in the middle of a biennial session, and there's time next session as well to move these bills through. So we'll use judgment and discretion and not put the Rules Committee through too much work. But there will be some bills, as these two are, that for different reasons, I think are important to move on through the process, and we'll make that judgment at that time. So if you have a bill, please let me know. Okay. All right. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Is there any other work before the committee today? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.